In at least one of the Gospels, it's recorded that Jesus said the first few words of this psalm from the cross, and early Christian tradition believes that Jesus may have, in fact, recited the whole psalm on the cross, one he would have grown up with and one that he was familiar with. Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In your ancestors they trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not human, scorned by others and despised by the people. All who seek me mock me. They make mouths at me. They shake their heads. Commit your cause to the Lord. Let him deliver. Let him rescue the one in whom he delights. Yet it was you who took me from the womb. You kept me safe on my mother's breast. On you I was cast from my birth. And since my mother bore me, you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls encircle me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open their mouths wide to me like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted within my breast. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs are all around me. A company of evildoers encircle me. My hands and feet have shriveled. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far away. O my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. From the horns of the wild oxen you have rescued me. I will tell of your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him. Stand in awe of him, all of you offspring of Israel. For he did not despise or abhor the affliction of the afflicted. He did not hide his face from me, but heard when I cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will pay before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and shall be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your heart be forever and ever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations shall worship before him, for dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. To him indeed shall all who sleep in the earth bow down. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, and I shall live for him. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord and proclaim his deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying that he has done it. Thus far, the reading of the psalm.
It was 2 days before the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. For they said,
"Not during the festival, or there may be a riot among the people."
While he was at Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar, a very costly ointment of nard. And she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on his head. But some were there who said to one another in anger,
"Why was the ointment wasted in this way? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and the money given to the poor."
And they scolded her.
"Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good service for me. For you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. Truly I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her."
Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray Jesus to them. When they heard it, they were greatly pleased and promised to give him money. So he began to look for an opportunity to betray him. On the first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb is sacrificed, his disciples said to him,
"Where do you want us to go and make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?"
So he sent two of his disciples.
"Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, Where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there.
So the disciples set out and went to the city, and found everything as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he came with the 12. And when they had taken their places and were eating, Jesus said,
Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me.
They began to be distressed and to say to one another,
Surely not I.
It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the bowl with me, for the Son of Man goes as is written of him. But woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born.
While they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to them, and said,
Take, this is my body.
Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it.
This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will never drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God.
And so, just as our Lord did with his disciples on that evening, we too are invited to this table. We come to this table not because we are perfect, because we are not, and neither were his disciples, but we come as sons and daughters and sisters and brothers in Christ. And we are invited to this table to remember what Jesus did for us and to remember that we are Christ's body together. And so, as we have just read, Jesus took the loaf and he broke it and he prayed for them and he said, This is my body. To eat this in remembrance of me, let us pray. Lord, as we partake of the bread to remember your body given for us, we then also become that body for one another. Bless us as we remember this together in our weakness and in our imperfection, just like your disciples. Amen. The bread will be handed out, and if you wish to partake, please take a piece of the bread and hold on to it until all have been served, and we will eat together. We have some appropriate for children or others who wish to partake in crackers and grapes, and if they would come to the front to join here, that would be good. Thank you. Has then everyone who wishes to be served been served? Eat, this is the body of Christ, and we become one another, the body of Christ. In the Passover meal, there are two cups, one early and one later. And we believe that this was the later cup that Jesus gave them, where he blessed it. And where he said in the text, the readers have told us already, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for you." And so we drink this as a recognition of Jesus' blood shed for us. Let us pray. Lord, on this Good Friday, on this Karfreitag, we remember your blood poured for us. We remember your loneliness as you felt abandoned. And yet we know that in your sacrifice, we have become a new people. May this blood be in us as well. We pray this in Jesus' name, the one whose crucifixion we today remember. Amen. A reminder that in the center of each tray there are some grape juices, and you may choose as you wish.
When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus said to them,
"You will all become deserters, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee."
Peter said to him,
"Even though all become deserters, I will not."
"Truly, I tell you, this day, this very night, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times."
But he said vehemently,
"Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you."
And all of them said the same. To a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples,
"Sit here while I pray."
He took with him Peter and James and John and began to be distressed and agitated.
"I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and keep awake."
And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him.
"Abba, Father, for you, all things are possible. Remove this cup from me. Yet, not what I want, but what you want."
He came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter,
"Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep awake 1 hour? Keep awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak."
Jesus.
And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And once more he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to say to him. He came a third time and said to them,
"Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand."
Immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. And with him there was a crowd with swords and clubs, from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying,
"The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard."
So when he came, he went up to him at once and said,
"Rabbi,"
and kissed him. Then they lay hands on him and arrested him. But one of those who stood near drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear.
"Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me, as though I were a bandit? Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled."
All of them deserted him and fled. A certain young man was following him, wearing nothing but a linen cloth. They caught hold of him, but he left the linen cloth and ran off naked. Took Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes were assembled. Peter had followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest, and he was sitting with the guards, warming himself at a fire. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for testimony against Jesus to put him to death. But they found none, for many gave false testimony against him, and their testimony did not agree. Some stood up and gave false testimony against him, saying,
"We heard him say, I will destroy the temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another, not made with hands.
But even on this point, their testimony did not agree. Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus,
"Have you no answer? What is it that you testify against you?"
But he was silent and did not answer. Again the high priest asked him,
"Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?"
"I am. You will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power, coming with the clouds of heaven."
Then the high priest tore his clothes and said,
"Why do we still need witnesses? You have heard this blasphemy. What is your decision?"
All of them condemned him as deserving death. Some began to spit on him, to blindfold him, and to strike him, saying to him,
"Prophesy."
The guards also took him over and beat him. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she stared at him and said,
"You also were with Jesus, the man from Nazareth."
But he denied it, saying,
"I do not know or understand what you are talking about."
And he went out into the forecourt. Then the cock crowed, and the servant girl, on seeing him again, began again to say to the bystanders,
"This man is one of them."
But again he denied it. Then after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter,
"Certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean."
But he began to curse, and he swore an oath,
"I do not know this man you are talking about."
At that moment, the cock crowed for a second time. Then Peter remembered what Jesus had said to him,
"Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me 3 times.
And he broke down and wept.
Oh, the pain of our Lord! On that night, when the secular and religious authorities would conspire to condemn Jesus to death, a second one of the inner circle would betray Jesus. Judas the treasurer had already done so, and now the beloved Peter also claimed he didn't know Jesus. Jesus loved these men, chose them, taught them, prayed for them. Oh, what a horror. Have we ever felt abandoned by those that we have prayed for? Some of us, perhaps. But each one of us, I would dare say, have found ways to betray our Lord. Whether it's verbally, like Peter, in actions by doing something other than what we have promised, by bad-mouthing or gossiping about a friend, and 1,000 other ways, are we truly different than Judas and Peter? But we do know the rest of the story. Judas would commit suicide in shame. The one that Jesus said he would build his church on, Peter, also knew shame. But he would become the leader of the church for decades after the resurrection. He would live restored, forgiven. Wow, that's the same Peter who denied his Lord. Fallen, restored, forgiven. And that is available for each one of us here this morning. The one who walked to the cross loves each one of us in this room. So much love. So overwhelming love. And we also, like Peter, are invited to come back. Jesus wants to look again at each one of us in that love, that overwhelming face of God. Amen. Thank you.
As soon as it was morning, the chief priests had held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate.
"Are you the king of the Jews?" "You say so."
Then the chief priests accused him of many things.
"Have you no answer? See how many charges they bring against you."
But Jesus made no further reply, so that Pilate was amazed. Now, at the festival, he used to release a prisoner for them, anyone for whom they asked. Now, a man called Barabbas was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder during the insurrection. So when the crowd came and began to ask Pilate to do for them according to his custom, then he answered them,
"Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?"
For he realized that it was out of jealousy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas instead. Pilate spoke to them again.
"Then what do you wish me to do with the man you call the king of the Jews?"
They shouted back,
"Crucify him!"
"Why? What evil has he done?"
"Crucify him!"
So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas for them, and after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers led him into the courtyard of the palace, that is, the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole cohort, and they clothed him in a purple cloak, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on him, and they began saluting him.
"Hail, King of the Jews!"
They struck his head with a reed, spat upon him, and knelt down in homage to him. After mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on them, and they led him out to crucify him. They compelled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry his cross. It was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. Then they brought Jesus to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him, dividing his clothes amongst them, casting lots to decide what each should take.
Oh,
It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two bandits, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying,
"Aha! You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross."
In the same way, the chief priests, along with the scribes, were also mocking him amongst themselves and saying,
"He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now so that we may see and believe."
Those who were crucified with him also taunted him.
Amen.
When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice,
"Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me?"
When some of the bystanders heard it, they said,
"Listen, he is calling for Elijah."
And someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink, saying,
"Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down."
Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two, from top to bottom. Now, when the centurion, who stood facing him, saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said,
"Truly, this man was God's son."
Also women looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the younger, and of Joseph, and Salome. These used to follow him and provide for him when he was in Galilee, and there were many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem. When evening had come, and since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was himself waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate wondered if he were already dead, and summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he had been dead for some time. When he learned from the centurion that Jesus was dead, he granted the body to Joseph. Then Joseph brought a linen cloth, and taking down the body, wrapped it in the linen cloth, and laid it in a tomb that had been hewn out of the rock. He then rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where the body was laid.
Go silently into that darkness, knowing what our Lord and Savior did for us on that day. Go silently into the darkness, knowing that Jesus paved the way for us. Go silently into that darkness, for this truly is a holy and good day. Go silently into the darkness. Amen.